can come true, it can happen to you if you're young at heart.
Hello there, boys and girls. Yes, I'm the Story Princess. I live in a shining castle on the highest hill of Storybook Land, and you are my dearest friends. You know, nothing makes me happier than to have you visit me, because then I can tell you your favorite stories, and you can tell me all the kind thoughts you think and the kind deeds you do. Won't that be fun? I think so, too. And now it's story time.
Fairy tales can come true, it can happen to you.
Now for my story. So gather round me, boys and girls, while I smooth out my big full skirt, and I'll begin. Once upon a time, on a cold, wintry day, a kind queen sat at her window sewing and watching the snowflakes as they danced from the blue sky. As she did so, she pricked her finger, and a drop of blood fell upon the sparkling snow. How pretty it looked! Ruby red upon pure white. The queen thought how wonderful it would be to have a child with eyes as blue as the sky, lips of ruby red, and skin as white as the snow.
Soon this wonderful wish came true. The queen had a little girl with eyes of blue. She had ruby red lips and a face all aglow, and her skin was as white as the new fallen snow.
How happy the queen was! She called the little girl Snow White. And then one day, a tragic thing happened. When Snow White was 8 years old, her dear mother died. The king wanted Snow White to be happy, so he took another wife to love and care for her. The new queen was most beautiful to behold, but she was proud and vain and jealous and loved only herself. She owned a magic mirror, and every day she would look into it and say,
"Golden mirror carved so grand, who is the fairest in the land?"
And the mirror would answer,
"You are the fairest one I know. Because of my magic, I know this is so."
Then the queen was thrillingly happy. As the years went by, Snow White grew lovelier and she was as fair as the most precious rose in her father's garden. One day, when the queen looked into her magic mirror and asked,
"Golden mirror carved so grand, who is the fairest in the land?"
it answered,
"You are very fair, 'tis true, but Snow White is now more fair than you."
The queen was horrified. She called a guard of the castle to her and told him to take Snow White into the woods, for she must die. The guard didn't want to take Snow White away because he loved her. Everyone loved her because she was kind and sweet and good. But the guard had his orders, and he knew he must follow them or be punished himself. So he took Snow White away. When they reached the woods, the birds and other wood folk began to sing and chatter in the gayest kind of way, because just the sight of Snow White made them happy. When the guard saw how much they loved her, he couldn't bear to take her life. So he left her with them and returned to the castle without her. After he'd gone, Snow White was frightened and lonely. All the wood folk gathered around her. "What shall I do, little friends?"
"Just follow us," they answered. So she did.
They walked over hill and dale, and then they came to a shady little glen. Nestled neath a tree, just as cozy as could be, was a house for 7 tiny men.
Because Snow White believed the cottage belonged to the wood folk, she went inside.
She saw 7 plates and 7 chairs, 7 beds where they said their prayers, 7 forks and spoons, I suppose 7 brooms, 'cause everything was clean everywhere.
As Snow White was very hungry, She ate from one of the 7 plates and then rested on one of the 7 beds, and soon she was sound asleep. Now it happened that 7 dwarfs lived in this quaint cottage, and because they were digging gold in the mountains, they were not at home when Snow White arrived. When it grew dark, they came home from their work and lit the candles in their cottage. It was then that they noticed someone else was in their midst. They thought Snow White was beautiful, but they couldn't imagine how she got to their cottage and where she came from. Because she seemed so tired, they didn't disturb her. But when Snow White awoke the next morning and saw the 7 dwarfs around her bed, she was surprised. She noticed that one little dwarf was clumsy, another wore shoes too big. One little dwarf had curly hair, another had to wear a wig. One little dwarf was timid, another liked to tease. But the merriest little dwarf of all the 7 was the one with the funny sneeze. Ker-choo, ker-chee, ker-chai, ker-chuck, ker-choke, ker-chump, ker-cheese. The merriest little dwarf of all the 7 was the one with the funny sneeze. Snow White was very happy to make the dwarfs' acquaintance. They were very friendly, and when they asked her what her name was, she told them. Then Snow White related how the wicked queen had ordered her put to death and how the guard had spared her life. Snow White told them how the wood folk had led her to their cottage to keep her safe from harm. The little dwarfs asked Snow White to stay with them so that the wicked queen could not find her. Snow White agreed. But as she was left alone all day while the dwarfs were at work, they warned her, "You must beware of the wicked queen, for she'll learn from her magic mirror that you are alive. Therefore, you must let no one enter the cottage, ever." Now, as you know, the queen thought Snow White was dead. So when she looked into her magic mirror and said, "Golden mirror carved so grand, who is the fairest in the land?" she was shocked to hear it answer, "You indeed have beauty rare, but Snow White is by far more fair. She is staying in the glen with 7 tiny little men." The wicked queen was very angry. She couldn't bear to think that anyone was as fair as she. She thought of a plan to get rid of Snow White once and for all. Then she disguised herself as a peddler lady and went to the glen where the 7 dwarfs lived. She knocked on their door. She called, "Fine wares and fruits to sell." Snow White looked out of the window. When she saw all of the pretty things the peddler lady had to sell, she opened the door, and she let her in. As Snow White suspected no harm, she took an apple that was shown her. She was just about to taste it when she remembered the warning of the 7 dwarfs. Hurriedly, she handed it back to the peddler lady. "Are you afraid the apple might be poisoned? If you are, I'll cut it in half. You eat the red part, and I will eat the yellow." Now it so happened that the queen had put poison in the red half. And so when Snow White took a bite of it, she fell to the floor as if she were dead. Then the wicked queen laughed. "Now I know I'm the fairest in the land." At last your hateful heart was happy. That is, as happy as a hateful heart can be. But when the 7 dwarfs came home, they weren't happy. They were heartbroken.
When the little men opened their door, they saw Snow White upon the floor. Her ruby red lips and her face all aglow were as pale and as still as the new fallen snow.
The little dwarfs cried bitterly. for they thought Snow White was dead. They loved her more than anyone else in the world. Because she looked so lovely, they made her a beautiful glass coffin and tenderly placed her in it. They carried her to a grassy slope of a nearby mountain, and every day all seven of them would gather around her to bask in her loveliness. Snow White lay there for a long, long time. And then one day, a handsome prince came riding by on his fine white horse. He saw Snow White in the clear glass coffin. He dismounted and walked over to where she lay. Oh, he thought she was the most beautiful maiden he had ever seen. As if in a dream, he raised the top of the little glass coffin and kissed her. Then a wonderful thing happened. The poisonous piece of apple fell from Snow White's lips. She opened her eyes and smiled at the prince, and they fell in love with each other. When the seven dwarfs saw her alive and happy, they were the merriest little people you ever saw. They told the news to a white dove who carried the glad word to all the wood folk. They hurried to Snow White's side, each bringing a token of love to express the joy inside his heart.
One brought Snow White a daisy crown. Another gave a fan of gosling down. And then from the brook the seven dwarfs took dewdrops to trim her wedding gown. Dewdrops to trim her wedding gown.
And so Snow White married her handsome prince, and together they ruled in love and kindness over their vast domain.
Thank you. Thank you very much, boys and girls. I'm so happy that you like the story about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You know, it's always been one of my favorite stories, too. And here's something I'd like very much for you to listen to.
I like to ride on my bike. It makes me feel so free. When I hold the handlebars, the world belongs to me. I like to ride on my bike and feel the breezes blow. I follow the traffic rules everywhere I go. My arm goes up when I turn to the right.
My arm goes down when I stop.
It goes straight out when I turn to the left. Exactly like my pop when he's driving. I like to ride on my bike. It's easy as can be. I follow the traffic rules and my daddy is proud of me.
I always ride near the curb on the right.
I stop when the sign says stop.
I walk my bike across the busy streets. Exactly like my pop when he was my age. I like to ride on my bike. It's easy as can be. I follow the traffic rules and my daddy is proud of me.
Happy birthday to you.
Boys and girls,
happy
look. Here come the royal bakers and candy makers. Listen to them sing. Oh, they've baked and frosted another beautiful birthday cake for all you children having birthdays today. The cake is frosted with beautiful icing with little tiny silver beads on it. And a wonderful little chocolate fence is built all around the cake. And today, we're going to light candles for these fine boys and girls. The first candle is for Ronnie Bowner. He is 10 years old. The next candle is for Melvin Allen. Melvin is 5. The next candle is for Janet Smith. And Janet is 9. So, boys and girls, make a special wish now. one that's very dear in your heart. And if I blow out all of these candles, your wish is going to come true. Are you ready? All right, here I go. Oh, the candles went out, so your wishes will come true. Happy birthday, boys and girls.
Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Best of luck.
Happy birthday to you.
Felicitations.
Happy birthday to you.
We really mean it.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Oh, yes, indeed. And now if you'll be nice and quiet, boys and girls, it's story time.
Well, now, once upon a time, there's a little boy, and his name is Orly, and there's just one thing in the world that Orly wanted, and that there was a cricket. So as he started out early one morning to get himself a cricket. Well, sir, he's looking out in the big green meadow and out in the pea patch, and he never did see one. Well, now, long about sundown, he heard a chirping in an old stone fence, and he started poking around, and there's a little old black cricket. Well, Orly, he picked him up, and he started for home as happy as a shelled in a waller. It happens he passed a blacksmith's shop, and the old smith, he heard the cricket, so he says,
Howdy do, Orly. Appears like you got yourself a cricket. I sure would be proud to have one to keep me company.
Well, Orly, he gulps a little, and he hands the cricket to the smith. The old smith thanks him, but Orly, he's a little lonesome for Mr. Cricket, and he feels pretty bad, so as he puckers up and he says,
I went all day to get myself a cricket, I got myself a cricket, and I give him to you, but you give me nothing at all. Well, now the old smith, he feels pretty mean, so as he reaches over and gets him a hoe he just made, and he gives this year hoe to Orly, and he taking the hoe and starting off for home. Well, now, pretty soon he's seen a poor old man a-trying to dig a well with his bare fingers. And the old man, he says,
Howdy do, Orly. Pears like you got in a hole there. My poor old fingers is about give out, and I sure could use that there hole.
Well, Orly, he give it to him, and then he says, I went all day to get myself a cricket. I got myself a cricket, and I give it to the smith. He give me a hole, and I give my hole to you, but you give me nothing at all.
Well, now the old man, he hits water about this time, so is he taking his hat and filled it up with water and give it to Orly, and Orly, he lights out for home. Well, now, pretty soon, he's seen an old woman, and she is a-trying to wash a pad of butter in the snow, but is getting all full of leaves and twigs and stuff, so as soon as she's seen Orly's water, she says,
Howdy do, Orly. Appears like I could use that there water to wash my butter in.
Well, Orly, he give it to her, but he says, I went all day to get myself a cricket. I got myself a cricket, and I give him to the smith. He give me a hoe, and I give it to the old man. He give me water, and I give it to you, but you give me nothing at all.
Well, old woman, she chopping off a chunk of butter and giving it to Orly, and he take it out for home again. Well, now, he yipered along a small piece down the road, and he seen an old tree a-creaking and a-groaning in the wind. The old tree, he seen Orly's butter pad, so as he says,
Howdy do, Orly. That there's a right nice butter pad. I sure would be proud to rub it on my poor old creaking, aching joints.
Well, Orly, he taken the butter and greased up the old tree. And then he says, I went all day to get myself a cricket. I got myself a cricket, and I give him to the smith. He give me a hoe, and I give it to the old man. He give me water, and I give it to the woman. She give me a butter pad, and I give it to you, but you give me nothing at all. Well, the old tree, he feels kind of mean, so as he reaches up a branch and he picks a big old green katydid off in his trunk and he gives it to Orly, and he hits for home again with the katydid a-crawling all over him. Well, pretty soon he's seen a big old bullet frog a-sitting by a puddle. And the old bullet frog, he's seen the katydid, and he croaks a couple of times and he blinks his eyes and he says,
Howdy, Orly. That there's a right nice katydid you got there, Just step a little bit closer so's I can take a good look at him.
Well, Orly, he stepped up and zip-zap. Old Bully Frog whips out his tongue and grabs the old katydid and swallows him. Well, Orly is good and mad now, and he says,
I went to old Etty, get myself a cricket. I got myself a cricket, and I give it to the smithy. Give me a hoe, and I give it to the old man. He give me water, and I give it to the woman. She give me butter pad, and I give it to the tree. He give me Katie did, and you add him up, and you give me nothing at all. Well, the old frog looks up at him, and he says, yeah, and what's more, I ain't gonna give you nothing. And he dives kerslop into the puddle. Ain't that a surprise? Well, that just goes to show you that you can't expect to get every time you give. And if you do expect it, sooner or later you're going to lose your Katie did. Orly did. That's all.
Oh, look, boys and girls. Here comes the royal scribe again. See him? Every time you hear this music, he'll be with us. And look, he's marching briskly along with the scroll of honor tucked under his arm. He has the names of boys and girls who'd like to belong to the Think Kind Thoughts, Do Kind Deeds Club. And now he's handing me the scroll. So I'll unroll it and tell you who our new members are to be. It says here that Glenn Oscarson from Denver, Colorado, Middleen Farmo from Eureka, California, Armin Meadows from Detroit, Michigan, all request membership. And I'd like you to know what kind deeds these children have done. Glenn shoveled the snow off the steps for his dad. Madeline said that she tends her little brothers and sisters for free without even an allowance. Armin comes right home after school and takes the dog for a walk. Well, I think that all of those deeds are very, very kind. And you know something else that's kind, too, is to always do things that your mother tells you to. So those are the boys and girls who requested membership for today. So I'll touch the scroll with my magic wand and make all of their memberships official. There. May they think kind thoughts and do kind deeds always. There goes the royal scribe, but he'll come back with more names to add to the scroll of honor just as long as we are kind to others. Now, boys and girls, it's time for me to leave you, for another story time is over. But I do hope you'll be back with me again and visit me in my shining castle on the highest hill. So be with us, boys and girls. And until then, goodbye. Bye.
Listen for The Story Princess next week and every week at this same time. The Story Princess has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.